Hello and welcome into this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and occasional absurdity. It's good to have you along today. Thanks for being part of this daily adventure into life in the world around us and how weird it can actually be sometimes. It is a Monday. It is the 8th day of June in the year 2020. And it has been a bizarre weekend. And it all started with a bizarre day on Friday, but I will tell you about that coming up soon. So how are you? You okay? Hopefully you're doing well. Are you safe? You and your family? Wait a minute. Hold on a second. That's not supposed to be happening. It is a... let me turn that down. I don't understand why that just happened, but maybe I will understand eventually. Wow. Okay, so Friday after everything dialed down and here I am, I'm in weekend mode, right? I'm just like, it's the weekend. I am ready for a weekend. I am ready to be done with everything. I am ready for a couple of days of peace and quiet, and of course knowing that the insanity on the news is going to interrupt. I'm ready for that. I'm good to go. I'm all ready for a weekend. And I get a notice from Facebook that something that I have posted has been fact-checked. Now that's, to me, is a unique experience. I don't ever get fact-checked. Now I hear of a lot of other people who do, but I've never been fact-checked. And usually that happens when some person of a progressive persuasion, a liberal, a leftist, a Democrat, has stumbled across what you're doing, and they're just deeply offended that you have a different view than they do. They're all about other kinds of views. They're all about, you know, everybody having their own opinion and everything being cool, but they don't seem to care much for people actually having those views. They're shocked and amazed when that happens. It's just totally and completely mind-blowing to them that this has happened. And they can't seem to understand that you may not see life the same way they do. And when they realize, wait a minute, this person does see things differently, they say to themselves, well, this has to stop. This has to stop. We can't. No, you can't have this opinion. And so they go whining to Facebook, and Facebook runs it through their fact checkers. And the fact checkers at Facebook, by the way, in case you're not aware, are a bunch of leftists. Some of them are radical, like the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're radical leftists. They lie to everyone about everything, and they're in this alternate universe and believe everyone else is wrong. So apparently that's what happened, because the piece that I shared with you from Larry Elder the other day got fact checked, and they say, oh, that's not true. None of this is true. And Larry Elder's come back and said, well, they're lying again. But I just thought it was unique. Here I am. I've been fact-checked. And my initial reaction was, well, who did I tick off? I'd like to thank them, because I tend to be, I not intentionally, but I've been kind of flying along under the radar for a while now. And apparently I've gotten some angry, pissed off, personally offended liberal who wants to report me for stuff now. Well, okay, then. Have fun with that. You keep living in your own universe. I thought it was all about respecting each other and appreciating each other's viewpoints and giving each other the space we needed to be who we are. But it's clearly not, because unless I agree with you, then I'm not entitled to have an opinion. I'm not entitled to share what I think agrees with my opinion. I'm not free. I don't have the liberty. And there's the key word. I don't have the liberty to see the world through my own eyes. I must see the world through your eyes. And you won't be satisfied until you hear your words coming out of my mouth. And that's never going to happen. It's not going to happen. Another thing that happened was that I got an email. I believe it was early Saturday morning. I'm sitting in my recliner, got my iPad, got my cup of coffee, kind of clearing the cobwebs from the brain. And the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is I grab a cup of coffee. I make coffee if it's not made already. I say that because my wife gets up about a half an hour before I do, because she has to be in at work at a certain time, and I don't have that schedule, the same schedule. And anyway, so she makes a couple of pots of coffee. We've got a big one of those big coffee pump thermos kind of things. And she fills that puppy up, and we go through between the two of us in the mornings about two pots of coffee. I've got close to the tail end of it here in a little stainless steel insulated mug, from Arctic RTC. And no, they're not a sponsor, not a paid sponsorship. They're just great. Their products are just great. And so I'm sitting there skimming that's what I do. I have some coffee and I grab my iPad and I skim through. First thing I do before I look at news or anything is I go through my inboxes, multiple inboxes. And one of the messages that I got in one of my inboxes was from Dollar Shave Club. Now, I have been a customer of Dollar Shave Club since the beginning, since they first hit the scene. I saw their ads for a little while and I thought, that's an interesting idea. And then after my next trip to buy razor blades, I thought, I think I'm going to try Dollar Shave Club. And so I tried Dollar Shave Club, and I was very pleasantly surprised by how inexpensive their blades were. Now, ladies, I don't know if you, well, you probably have. If you've bought razor blades for your guy, you know how expensive razor blades are at the Walmart. They're pricey. And not so much from Dollar Shave Club, and the quality is excellent, and you can set them up on a schedule so that you get a 4-pack every month. You use a blade a week, a little blade package, a cartridge every week, and once a month you get a refill. And you can also set up regular refills for things like other products that they have, like they have a shave gel. It's not a shave cream, it's a shave gel that is just amazing. And other things. Now, I know I'm selling you on Dollar Shave Club, but just give me a moment. Because I got this email from Dollar Shave Club, who, as you have already heard, I'm a fan of. And what happens? What do they say? They're now supporting Black Lives Matter. Dollar Shave Club, which was bought from the original founders, the founder himself, he sold it to Unilever. Now, Unilever has a lot of different brands. Go to Unilever.com and look up their brands. They have a page just for their brands. And Dollar Shave Club is one of the Unilever brands. Well, Unilever is supporting Black Lives Matter, and Dollar Shave Club, as a Unilever brand, is giving $100,000 to Black Lives Matter. And I know what Black Lives Matter stands for, what the organization stands for. And I am not going to give them a dime of my money, not one red cent of my money, because I know that they are a revolutionary leftist organization who are seeking the overthrow of the American system of government and life as we know it here in the United States. That is what they're after. In fact, in today's show notes, I have a link right to what they believe. So you can go see for yourself and not just take my word for it. In fact, if I hopefully we'll have time and I can get to it today, we'll go through what they believe. It's in my list, in my stack of stuff. So I immediately, when I got this email, it didn't take me long after I got over the initial disappointment. And it's not disappointment. It's not anger. It's not prejudice. It's not anything but disappointment. Just disappointment that these people would so ignorantly bow before an organization which is lying, bald-faced lying to the people of America about what's happening in their country. That for the sake of keeping the peace and playing nice, that they would give any money, a penny, to these people. I canceled my membership with Dollar Shave Club and posted about it in all my social media. Because this is not the way we do things. It's not the way I do things. I'm not going to give these people a dime. Black Lives Matter, that is. And please don't mistake me. Please don't misunderstand me. This is not racism. This is not prejudice. This is being clear-headed and clear-thinking and seeing exactly what's going on in our country. And having lived in the South, my friend, in the South all of my life, and seen race relations up close, and knowing what the state of it truly is in America, and seeing how deeply different it's being portrayed to us in the media, in the news media, and in the entertainment media, and thank you, Roger Goodell, now the NFL. That's another thing, the weirdness that's going on. I see the clash of reality against what they say is real. And I know these people are lying to us. They're up to something, and it's not good. So Dollar Shave Club lost my business over the weekend. I'm looking at Harry's, but I'm going to give Harry's a little bit of time because I've still got some blades left, some blade cartridges left. I've still got, I think I've got 7 blade cartridges left. I've got shave stuff left. I just the day before they issued the letter, I got a box, my monthly box from Dollar Shave Club, and I refilled on some things because I was running out. So I've got enough to last me for a little while. I've already paid for it. I'm going to use it. I'm not going to throw it out. My money has already gone out for this. I'm not a wasteful person. I'm going to use it. But when it comes time to get new stuff, I'm going to look at Harry's. And in that time, we'll see whether or not Harry's loses their mind. And if Harry's Shave Club loses their mind, there are other options. I bought some product not too long ago from a company called Duke Cannon, which is run by some ex-military guys. And their stuff is fantastic. Guys, if you're looking for a great source, yeah, go look at it. You'll be shocked at the price. But the thing is, what they sell lasts a long time. It's big. And so price-wise, it's not so bad. They have a shampoo that looks like a hockey puck. It's a solid that would be perfect for travel, because that way you can take your shampoo with you on the road and not depend on whatever's in the bottles or in the hotel you're staying in. They also have other products, soaps and things like, and by the way, the bars of soap, they're ginormous. They are ginormous and they smell like a man. And that's a good thing. Anyway, I'm no longer a Dollar Shave Club customer and may end up being a Harry's Shave Club customer before long. We'll see. Looks like it's time for me to fix a few problems. Out of here. Welcome back to the Daily Perspective Podcast. All right. I think we've got things squared away now. That was kind of weird. If you're on Facebook Live, you heard something repeat, and you heard a lot of little odd stuff going on, but we're squared away. All right. Now, let's see here. What else have we got? In the absurd category, Joe Biden has finally lynched the Democrat nomination. He has all of the delegates necessary. He's now officially the Democrat candidate for the presidency. And he said, do you remember the clown car? How many people were there? Something like 16 of them that were running. And they were just this mishmash of bizarre, weird people who were saying all kinds of weird stuff to try to appeal to every fringe group in America. You know what he referred to that group of people as? The most talented and qualified candidates ever to run. No, really. He actually said that. Oh, my word. Either he is completely out of touch with reality, he is, or he has people writing everything for him, he does. It's it's the Monday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, 8th day of June 2020, and it's good to have you along today. Thank you so much. In other news, George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, and Colin Powell have all said they're going to support Biden in the upcoming election. Shocker. Yeah, right. Yeah, I this shouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Bush and Romney are progressives. Romney is demonstrating his progressiveness by marching with people in the streets. He's trying to win votes. Please don't mistake this for anything other than what it is. This man is a progressive politician, and he is in the streets trying to win the sympathies of the minority vote. That's what he's trying to do. That's all it is. Please don't mistake it for him truly caring. And then there is Colin Powell, who hasn't voted for a Republican in how long? Can somebody check? It's been a long time. It's been quite some time. Colin Powell is also a progressive, and his lack of support for Republicans should not come as a surprise to anyone. No one. So when you see these stories about these key political figures are not going to vote for President Trump, look a little deeper and you'll see, well, of course they're not. They're not going to cast their vote for someone who grinds against the grain of their progressiveness, who is challenging the old guard in Washington, D.C. and the deep state, who is swinging his sledgehammer to destroy the status quo. They're not going to vote for that man because he is a threat to everything they hold dear. Everything they've invested their careers in is being dismantled by someone because it's unconstitutional. And they want to preserve the unconstitutional because it's the way things have always been done. And you know how that goes. Anytime someone who insists on keeping things the way they've always been done, then that institution is going to slowly die. It happens with businesses. It happens with churches. It happens with local, state, city, and national governments. We're going to keep things as they always have been. Well, the way things always have been is unconstitutional because you have built this unconstitutional system of governing, and it needs to be torn down because it is no longer of, by, and for the people. It is of, by, and for the political elite. So please don't be surprised when W and Romney and Colin Powell say they're supporting Biden. It should not come as a shock. In other news, the North Carolina Speedway drew a crowd of more than 2,000 spectators in defiance of the state's coronavirus restrictions. Well, I said good for them, especially because of how clever they were in doing it. They declared the race a protest. The governor's office warned Ace Speedway in Elon earlier in the week that a crowd of more than 25 would violate the state's phase two coronavirus restrictions. But news outlets report that more than 2,000 attended a race Saturday night. A sign from management outside the Speedway said, "This event is held in peaceful protest of injustice and inequality everywhere." All I can say to that is congratulations. That's awesome. Good for you. Thank you so much. Everybody needs to see that. And everybody needs to jump on that bandwagon and do the same thing and hold whatever you're doing in peaceful protest of the injustice and inequality everywhere. So business owners, why don't you have that printed up and say, this business is peacefully protesting the injustice and inequality everywhere with our customers. Oh, that's awesome. That's just awesome. Thank you so much. That's one way to protest. That prompts a question. Hey, if you can participate in protests for multiple days, you don't have a job and don't know how the world really works, do you? Yeah, you don't. Because if you've got time to protest like that for days, you don't have a job. Actually, you're on unemployment and you're living off that extra $600 a week. That's what's going on. So the federal government is paying you to destroy the country. Think about that for a moment. No doubt you've seen the story about the elderly gentleman who got knocked down by cops in Buffalo, New York, right? A lot of Americans do understand the riots aren't righteous protests, but are instead leftist activism. It's aimed at destabilizing America, the activists hope, also to destroy the Trump chance of re-election. Still, people found shocking a video showing police in Buffalo pushing an old man to the ground where he lay with blood pouring from his ear. Don't believe everything you see, though. The old man was a known leftist activist. He was looking for trouble. And it's entirely possible he could have staged the whole thing. Now, if you view the video in a vacuum, it's awful. A frail-looking old man standing alone against the Buffalo police is brutally pushed to the ground and left to lie there bleeding. Almost immediately after the video appeared, the police officers who pushed the man were charged with assault and suspended from the force. Now, here's a tweet from Sean King that kind of illustrates how effective the man's fall was. Said, I'm not sure any single video of since the murder of George Floyd gives us a more insightful glimpse into the minds of American police than this one. Buffalo police and friends are cheering for the two officers who brutally assaulted and then ignored the head injury of a 75-year-old man. This guy is a hard left activist. His name is Martin Gugino. He was definitely up to something. More after the break. Well, things started off askew when the computer ran wild because I made a mistake. Oh, totally me making a mistake. And I don't think I finished explaining that when I came in the studio, my computers were down like there had been a power outage. One of them I know I had set to do an update, and it did its update, and when it came back up again, it just sat there. It didn't start everything back up like it should have, so I had to manually restart things. So I got busy. I got busy fixing those issues because I had things to do in here using these computers before the podcast. So that got me all sidetracked, and then things didn't load properly and things didn't run. And then I loaded in a piece of bumper music that blew some other ones out that had time cues, and I messed a lot of stuff. Anyway, things are back to abnormal, I think, for the most part. Anyway, back to this guy, the 70-something year old guy. 77, is that what they said? Anyway, he's been around for a while. He's known. His Twitter feed, he's been saying F the police. He's longing for Chicago from back in 1968, where the leftists violently rioted. He supports Palestinian activism. He retweets theories that undercover cops are responsible for Minneapolis's violent riots. That's insane. But that's what people like this guy believe. Buffalo's mayor, Byron Brown, said that this guy, Gugino, was an agitator. The police knew this guy. They'd repeatedly asked him to leave the area for trying to incite the crowd. There's been footage that's come out showing him hanging around with activists and boasting that he's looking for fun. And the shocked young man that he said that to said, I think he's looking to get punched in the face. That's what it is. That young man was correct. People who've been carefully examining the footage of his interactions with the police, as well as his fall, have noticed that there was nothing innocent about what he was doing. Excuse me. According to Conservative Treehouse, Gugino was using a phone as a capture scanner, which would allow him to capture information from police officers' communication belts. Others have pointed out the way he fell was oddly graceful and staged. Yeah. And there are some who are saying that there was, you know, there's pictures, there's blood running down from his mask. They're saying that's also fake. This guy staged something, got in the face of the police officers, and said something, did something that triggered them to give him a push, a little nudge, a push, that normally you probably could have taken a step back and recovered from, yet he fell. The Buffalo Police Force believes these two guys, the arrested officers, were victims of a setup. 57 of them resigned from the emergency response team because of the way these two guys were treated. Leftist activism always has an element of theater. Now, that can be amusing when, for example, climate change nuts dress up like broccoli. But it's not as funny when a vicious old man frames the police to drive a hard left narrative aimed at bringing our country to anarchy. So, please remember, not everything you see is as it appears. It appears the old man who was knocked down, who has resulted in 57 officers resigning from the force because of the way their people, the people who should be supporting them, have treated two of their brethren. This man knew exactly what he was doing and staged the whole thing. That's something to remember. We've seen a lot of that. A lot. In fact, I shared a video the other day of one of Steven Crowder's videos where he dismantles all of these claims about racist treatment by cops. There are a few of them. Yeah, they're real. But the vast majority of them aren't. There were people misbehaving, people doing things they should not have been doing, people resisting arrest, people disobeying police officers on a scene, people making life very difficult for the cops just trying to do their jobs. Some of them ignoring police when told to put weapons down. You see, there's an atmosphere, an attitude that's been bred in black communities. They've been lied to about cops for so long that they will step up and challenge, and they will charge towards somebody with a weapon. If you don't believe it's true, just do a little research and you'll see, again and again, it's true. In fact, if they're holding a weapon, they will point it towards the cops because they believe they can win. It's not true. Moving on. Coming from Daily Caller, an article by Scott Moorfield. Civil rights attorney Leo Terrell says that the Democrat Party has been hijacked by the extremists as their presumptive nominee, former Vice President Joe Biden, talks one game and does another. Appearing with Larry Elder, conservative radio host, on Friday night's edition of Fox News Hannity, Terrell began reacting to Biden's comments this week about only 10% to 15% of Americans being not very good people. He says, "I'm going to be consistent on this because as the civil rights attorney, Joe Biden talks one game and does another. He claims he wants to unite the country. Well, he just threw out 15%. They're not good people. Well, Joe Biden, I'm part of that 15% and proud of it. Then he further divides the country by claiming that if you don't vote Democrat, you ain't black. He further divides the country by then not supporting the police department. I find it insulting." The liberal civil rights attorney said that Biden's only calling card, the claim that former President Barack Obama chose him for vice president, is not enough to vote for him. Quote, "He threw blacks in jail with his crime bill. It was President Trump with his first step action that got us out of jail, and then his best friend, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, calls cops killers." Responding to Elder's contention that at the end of the segment that Trump could get much more black support than he did in 2016, Terrell said, "The Democratic Party has been hijacked. It's been hijacked by the extremists, and that's why I'm on your show, Sean Hannity. It's been hijacked. Somebody hijacked Leo, Sean, and I love it," said Larry Elder. Good for him. And touching on that about black support for the president, you know how I feel about surveys, about polls and statistics. I don't trust them. But President Trump was elected with 6% support from the black community. Polling is indicating he has a lot more now. A lot more. A lot more. Up to 40%. Can you imagine what this election is going to look like? Turning the page, popping up on Twitter over the weekend, I stumbled across this by a guy named Amir Pars, and I shared it with you. And I want to share it with you now. This will take the rest of this segment and probably into the last segment. So let me get started. It's called, it says, I'll lose many friends over what I'm about to say. I will possibly be called a racist or even a white supremacist, even though I'm a brown man who's been beaten to a pulp by neo-Nazis wearing steel-toed boots. But maybe, just maybe, the fact that I'm getting 100% of my information from the black scholars, the great Thomas Sowell, Glenn Lowry, Shelby Steele, John McWhorter, Coleman Hughes, Camille Foster, and Thomas Chatterton Williams, allows me some room for thought. I've been watching the narrative play universally over the heinous killing of George Floyd, and the complete and utter lack of facts about African Americans in the U.S. has been infuriating. Unfortunately, anyone who doesn't submit to the dominant narrative will be called a heretic, a racist, a white supremacist, etc. Still, I can't stop myself. 1. Black Lives Matter don't care about black people. Want evidence? Name me a single time, just once, when they've protested against black people being killed by other black people, whether in America or elsewhere. Why is this relevant? Because the biggest cause of death for black men aged 15 to 45 in the USA is other black men. Compared to white people, where it's traffic accidents for the younger portion and heart attacks for those over 35. Compare that. Or how about the black lives in Sudan, East Timor, and Libya? Why do we only ever hear from Black Lives Matter when it's a white person killing a black person? 2, speaking of which, imagine if white people started doing the reverse. Imagine every time a white person was killed by a black person, there'd be protests, riots, looting, and social media campaigns. First thing to notice is that it would be more frequent, because African Americans kill more white people in the U.S. than white people kill African Americans. Now what? Should we really start applying the race card every time there's a murder involving more than one pigmentation? Where will it end? 3. Police killings. The video of the murder of George Floyd is so visceral. By showing the casual evil with which Officer Derek Chauvin kills George Floyd, people are rightly outraged, and no one can honestly defend the officer who rightly has been arrested and hopefully will spend the rest of his remaining years behind bars, although the prosecutor has been idiotic in moving the case from third to second degree murder, a burden of proof they'll most likely fail to provide. But the only person people are up in arms about these is that the social media and MSM attention focuses disproportionately on these incidents when the victim is black and the officer isn't. Don't believe me? Let me prove it. You've all heard of Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old black boy who was murdered when brandishing a toy gun. It was all over the news. There were riots and marches, hashtags and universal condemnation all over the media. But how many of you have heard of Daniel Shaver? A white man who was showing his friends a scoped air rifle used to exterminate birds who entered his store, and was killed for this. You may remember the case of Sam DuBose, a black man who was shot dead for driving his car away from the police. The exact same thing happened before that to Andrew Thomas, a white man driving away from the police. None of you ever heard of him. Alton Sterling was a black man shot dead by the police when reaching into his pocket for his wallet, a travesty. Where did I leave off? Alton Sterling was a black man shot dead by the police when reaching into his pocket for his wallet. A travesty. The same thing happened to a white guy named Dylan Noble. Sterling made national headlines. None of us heard a word about Noble. Lauren Simpson was a white teenager who was shot dead by the police eerily, in eerily similar circumstances as George Zimmerman killed Trayvon Martin. You haven't heard a lot about her, but you have. You demanded justice for Zimmerman. You've not heard of James Boyd, Alfred Redwine, Brandon Stanley, or Mary Hawks, but you've heard of Alton Sterling and Philando Castile. Because the only times police killings make the news is when the victim is black and the officer isn't. Here are the FBI, NCJRS, and BJS statistics. For every 10,000 black people arrested for violent crime, 3 are killed by police. For every 10,000 white people arrested for violent crime, 4 people are killed by the police. In 2019, 49 unarmed people were killed by the police. 9 were black, 19 were white. The likelihood for a black person being shot by the police is as high as being struck by lightning. Yet we're seeing riots. Every single post on Instagram and Twitter is in support of Black Lives Matter and denunciation of police in America. Number 4. Systemic racism. Institutional racism. Sound good, don't they? Such powerful words. And completely inaccurate. First, let's see what the claims being made are. Both insinuate built-in racism within various official institutions, police, law, governments, etc. Yet, when they are challenged by asking the proponents to provide evidence for these, nothing's provided. Name one single law that is targeting exclusively black people, just one. There isn't one. If the police is systematically anti-black, explain how it's possible that 20% of the police force in America is black. African Americans constitute roughly 14% of the population, meaning that blacks are overrepresented within the police force. Now imagine how incredibly racist it is to say that the 100,000-plus black police officers are too stupid to know they're working inside and within a racist institution. That really is racism. And none of them have come out and said anything? None of them have gone on 60 Minutes and said, we're being trained to be racists. Seriously? How about governments? Let's leave aside the fact that America just had a 2-term black president, whose second name was Hussein, by the way. Some of America's worst-run cities have black mayors, black governors, and majority black councils. Look at 2 of the worst cities in America to be black in, Baltimore and Chicago. Why is it that a place where the people in power are black can be worse for the African-American community than cities that aren't run by black politicians? This is a knockdown argument. Number 5, disparity. People often look at the economic disparities between blacks and whites and claim it to be evident for institutional racism. It says something about the power of a narrative when it's been debunked decades ago by black economists. Yet, the myth still persists. Black economists like the great Thomas Sowell, by the way. First of all, at no point in human history has any two groups of people had the same level of wealth or income as each other. It would be an absolute miracle to expect that people with different backgrounds, cultures, histories, values, and ethics to have the same level of wealth. This is even true within so-called races. Compare, for example, black Americans, generational, versus black immigrants, particularly the ones from West Indies. That would be Jamaica, Barbados, etc. You couldn't tell these people apart just by looking at them. And whatever racism is in place for one group must by definition be applied for the second group. But what they have is completely different values and work ethics. The Jamaicans arriving in the U.S. do so commonly to achieve greater heights than what he or she can in their home country. Whatever level of systemic racism exists, they are subjected to it as much as the African American. Yet already in the 1970s, the 70s, when racism was far more prevalent than it is today, Black Americans from the West Indies were earning 58% more than the Black American whose generations go back centuries in the United States. How could that be if there's supposed to be such a thing as systemic racism? Disparities are only proof of disparities. Just because Group X doesn't have the same as Group Y doesn't mean that it's explained by racism. And why does this so-called white supremacy only run against one group of Black Americans? Why doesn't it run against Asian Americans, who out-earn white Americans by over 60%? Why doesn't it apply to Jewish Americans or Indian Americans, all of whom earn more than white Americans? Maybe there's something else going on. In 1965, Daniel Patrick Moynihan published his report titled The Negro Family, The Case for National Action, where he saw that African-American households were 25% single mothers, a frightening statistic that would have devastating consequences. Since then, Jim Crow laws and redlining have all been removed from the books. Martin Luther King Jr. and the Civil Rights Movement made tremendous strides, and we've now even had a Black two-term president. But today, Black households with no paternal figure and only a single mother constitute 75% of all Black households in America. 75. Now you tell me, which is the better explanation for young Black children ending up in a life of crime? The lack of a father figure, or the mythical, non-explainable entity known only as institutional racism, which for some reasons doesn't apply to Nigerian immigrants, to Black immigrants from West Indies, to Indian people, to Jewish people, to Asian Americans. Point six, criminality. Why are Blacks being disproportionately imprisoned? There's a racist prison industry complex. The key word here is disproportionately, because it most certainly is true that African Americans make out the majority of prisoners in America. But what is the evidence that this is disproportionate? It's non-existent. Let's look at the stats. Black Americans constitute roughly 14% of the population in America, yet they commit 50% of all of the murders. But this is misleading, because it's not the elderly, nor the children, nor the women who commit the murders. It's almost exclusively the young men, 15 to 40. That constitutes about a fourth of the Black population, which means that about 3.5% of the American population are responsible for 50% of all the murders. Listen again. 3.5% of Americans are responsible for 50% of all murders. You will find similar astonishing figures for drug-related crimes, armed robberies, breaking and entering, and gang violence. So even though it is true that Black people make up the majority of the prison population, the incarceration rates are only proportionate against the crime rate, not the population. Number seven. History of slavery, Jim Crow, and redlining. Well, that may be so, but it's because of the history of slavery and Jim Crow. I don't doubt the good intentions of those making these arguments, but they don't actually see how it is a classic case of racism of lower expectations. No one's been able to provide a logical link between historical racism and the plight of people today. First of all, what's unique about racism in America, and Britain for that matter, is that these countries abolished slavery when they did. They were among the first countries in the world to do so, and America even fought a bloody civil war to implement the 13th Amendment. Almost every country in the world practiced slavery, and there are many, particularly in sub-Saharan Africa, which still do to this day. And it most certainly is true that racism didn't end with slavery, and evil practices such as Jim Crow, segregation, and redlining were practiced until the 70s. But, and here's the most astonishing fact of all, African Americans had more wealth and less unemployment during those times than today, when such practices have been abolished and are rightly considered moral evils. Now, before anyone makes the nonsensical claim that, oh, you're saying we should oppress them then because they had it better? Let me explain that correlation does not mean causation. But just as facts don't care about feelings, reality won't comply with the narrative. Point 8. America is a white supremacist society. This is one of the most egregious claims out there. First of all, compared to what? Show me a country where blacks are a minority but still get to be elected presidents, have more than 50 mayors, congressmen and women run city councils, and have had multiple presidential candidates. Show me one. America and Britain are two of the least racist societies on earth and in history. For God's sake, look at the response from the murder of George Floyd. Just look at the outpouring of support for black people, the universal condemnation of racism from every white person with a social media account. Black Lives Matter. That's point 9. This is a big one, because I don't know of many organizations who care less about black lives than Black Lives Matter. 93% of all killings of black people are done by other blacks. Black Lives Matter are completely silent on this. Black Lives Matter has never, not a single time, had a march or campaign black people being killed en masse in places like Sudan or Eritrea, Somalia, or Libya. Instead, what they've done is to have chants like pigs in a blanket, fry them like bacon, about the cops, which inspired a lunatic in Dallas to murder three police officers. And there's so much more to this. And I want you to read it all. So get the show notes today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and get this and all the rest I've talked about. Plus, I'll include the link to what Black Lives Matter says they stand for, what they say they believe, their words, so you can see the truth that Black Lives Matter is a leftist activist organization, a cult-like organization that wants to destroy Western family values. And that's it for today. God bless you. Have a good one. We'll see you back here tomorrow for the next edition of The Daily Perspective. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.